Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettillo along with Charlie Long. We'll take you till 6 o'clock tonight, and at 6 o'clock, Steve Geller takes over. You have Ollie Cosell talking about Pelicans, and at 6:30, you have your choice. You can go to the on WWL. We have the pregame for the Pelicans as they play the Minnesota Timberwolves, and at 7 o'clock tip-off. And then at 7 o'clock tonight on 105.3 FM, it'll be the Saints Hour with Mike Haas. In our first hour, we'll have the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave on our Tulane Tuesday segment. John Summerall agreed to come on with us, so we thank Coach for that. But also we want to thank Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious Network. He's on with us now. And Blake, you ain't had a damn thing to do in the last 4 or 5 days, so I wanted to give you something to do this afternoon. And man, if you think that's something, tomorrow really should be a wild day, as already we've seen a number of decommitments and then commitments to LSU. We'll start with that first. LSU landing two commitments that were going to go to Ole Miss, and now just recently, within the last few minutes, so an offensive lineman from Miami of Florida, an interior player, has committed to the Tigers, along with C.J. Anderson from Illinois. So tell us all about it.
I'm busier than one of Santa's elves in the month of December. That's all I know. Number two, Mike, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. You know, you've been in this game a long time. I would lean on your expertise on this. I don't even really know where to start. I understand, Mike, a lot of things that are going on. You know, some of these kids are unfortunately getting processed. You know, like, you know, I'm just going to let that be. You know, LSU and Lane Kiffin has kind of moved on from some. And some of the kids that they want to stay on, from what I understand, they are calling and saying, we want you here. We think you could play here. We want, you know, come and be a part of what we're going to build. And, Mike, they're bringing in people, you know, from Ole Miss that they think that can play. Not Ryan Moret, the interior offensive lineman. J.C. Anderson, the big tight end out of Illinois. Obviously, getting those two flips and those two commitments are a big deal from what they see. Mike, this isn't over with yet. This has only begun. I expect this to be a pretty wild 24 hours. I have, Mike, I heard an hour ago Richard Anderson's pushing his commitment back. I heard 27 minutes ago, and I say 27 minutes ago, that he's not. And then I just heard right before coming on that he thinks that he will. So with that, I don't know. I mean, they're flipping like pancakes. So this has been a little bit chaotic. I think all of us can understand and be patient with it. But Mike, this is gone completely insane.
Yeah, I think Blake, what's happened here is with the coaching change and the quick turnover with the transfer portal been pushed into January, which I think is a good idea, but I think it should align with the calendar. What's happening with National Signing Day is really one of the first times we've seen this sort of movement late because of the fact you didn't have this sort of movement coaching-wise and this much of it this late.
Right.
Okay, you might have had one and possibly two, but look what's happened all across the SEC and who's going to be coaching. And I think that's a little bit why when Coach Kiffin was pressed about it yesterday, about his defensive staff, he sort of tapped the brakes because we all know it's not so much the head coach that's connected to the high school player, but it's his position coach and who recruited him.
Without a doubt. And listen, Mike, you know, like, I know you're going to have John Summerall on. I doubt he gives you anything on this, but we know that Blake Baker, you know, interviewed yesterday for Tulane, which John Summerall, I'm a massive fan of. To be on the same thing with him is honorable for me. But, you know, Mike, I don't know what's going to happen on the defensive side of things at the current moment, you know, and I think that has kind of shaked some things up. You know, especially on the defensive side, you know, like, Mike, I'll just give an example. Aiden Hall at a car. I am desperately keeping my eyes set on him. Pewter out of Alabama, the other safety that you had committed. Mike, I Florida is now trending here late, and I know that Coach Summerall can't talk about that and specific players, but that is trending here over the last couple of minutes, and they hired Brad White. So, Mike, with all of these changes, these flips have started in all of this. I will tell you, Mike, that you brought up the position side of things, and I just want to be very careful on how I say this. Jalen Waters, who is a cornerback, and Jalen Wyatt, who is a safety, Mike, I think LSU is now trending for a Miami cornerback commit, now a Tennessee commit that they're trying to flip here late. So there's a lot of shaking. And, Mike, I got to be careful here. Even though you don't have maybe the staff that's going to lead you in 2026 defensively, I think that Billy Glasscock and Lane Kiffin have an idea of where they're going with their staff defensively, and they've already started to try to make those moves to flip some kids that they want.
My thing is the worst thing to lose is the big man. Because you know what? Those
Without
are the real
doubt.
Skilled people in this world. Man, I want the quarterback. And possibly you can get somebody there at the quarterback position. But man, for me, Blake, you and I are in agreement here. The real skilled people in this world, big offensive, defensive linemen that you had committed, and this is why Richard Anderson's going to have a long look over here because he's a big horse in the middle on the defensive side of the football.
Without a doubt, Mike. And listen, I mean, I know that you had Lamar Brown in, and that's a big deal. You got to – focus in on Richard Anderson. I will say this, Mike, I think that there's been some turmoil today, to say the least, inside of football ops. I got to give Lane Kiffin a little bit of credit here. I do think that he is trying his best at this exact moment to remedy what he can with Richard Anderson. I don't know where that's going to go. I know that there is a thought process. Well, Texas is coming in late, but Mike, I think they're coming in late because of the door that's been cracked here. And so I know that they're trying very hard to lock this in, but if you ask me at 4:20 p.m. Central Standard Time, I don't know where this one's going to go, Mike. I could easily see him flipping here, but you got to do what you got to do. You talked about being able to – you know, spend some of this money in recruiting. It was a big thing that you talked about yesterday. Well, Mike, you might have to dip into it right now. You're not even 24 hours in this thing. So it's going to see how that plays out. But for right now, beyond Richard Anderson and Aiden Hall and Finney probably not signing tomorrow, I do expect Lamar Brown and Deuce Gerald, they also might wait to sign. So, Mike, this is a lot of things that are moving, and the defensive staff not really being told if they're permanent right now, I think it's causing a lot of confusion, and it's letting some of these kids hold off on that commitment. So we're going to have to see how this one plays out. So your big guys defensively, not only just Richard Anderson, but Aiden Hall, Haven Finney, Deuce Geralds, they might want to wait and sign. That is a very strong possibility because they don't know the permanent future of their position coaches.
Well, you could be Penn State. Man, look what happened to them. Good gracious.
More people flipped than IHOP. I mean, geez.
That's a bad situation now going on. And I think from people who have some power have basically unplugged them from coaches that they might want. And this is a flip the middle finger to Penn State for what happened with James Franklin. And I think that there are some powers agent-wise that has basically stuck the middle finger to him and said, okay, you did this to Franklin. We'll show you. Find a coach. Go ahead and find one now.
Well, and Satake might, I know you saw this, but Satake said he's staying at BYU.
Yeah. So where do you go now? And you have no coach, no coaching staff other than, you know, what Terry Smith has now at Penn State. Man, you talk about this a crazy deal. And this is why the NCAA, which I think they wanted this to happen, because they've really been unplugged. They're the biggest bookie in the world. They have stole money from colleges and players for the last 35, 40 years, have done nothing for the sport, zero. And now they say, okay, you want to do this alone? You do it, but we're going to set the calendar the way we want it. And this is why the NCAA is going to have to somehow, some way, the college presidents and the conference commissioner is going to have to say, you know what? Hey, if you're not helping us, goodbye.
Mike, listen, I know that coaches, and you're about to speak to one, so I would digress to him. I think this has got to be moved back to February, and you're already letting kids sign exemptions if they are going to be early enrollees. Mike, we've got to go to the NFL calendar here to some degree. You've got to do this after the season. I mean, if anything has taught us this week, if anything has taught us the last month, Mike, I don't mind the early signing period. I don't mind it being there. Look what's happening. Look what's happening. I think they need to move it back all to February, but you're already letting them sign an exemption. If you want to early enroll, like Derek Stingley, Mike, what was it, 2019?
Yeah.
Or 2018, whatever it was.
18.
It was technically January 29th. You're right, 18. So you wanted them to do that, Mike. He got an early exemption. That's when that happened. Signing day was still big in February then. Like, it was still a big deal. So I, in my opinion, I think they got to do that after the season. You know, I don't understand. I know that coaches want transfer portal guys that will be there in the spring. I understand that. But it also comes down to the fact, look what's happening. Like, you can't allow that to continue to happen. I thought that the portal window should have been in spring and let guys come in the summer. But, again, Mike, that's on me. I get coaches want their players in the spring to develop them. But at the same time, you've got all of this chaos surrounding you at the current moment. And it seems like it could be all changed if you just move it back to February and then a spring portal period. That is my opinion. I know I'm in the minority on that, Mike, but, I mean, what else are we going to do here? You're going to try to do stuff during the playoffs. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree with you, Blake, and I got to let you go because we got to go to a break. But I think the portal deal should be ahead of the signing day.
I agree.
National signing day. I think it's like in the NFL, right? They have free agency before the draft. Why can't you do it the exact same way? Too much common sense, though.
Mike, they've already done it that way, so let's see if they can do it now.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us, but always enjoy your insights and commentary. Appreciate it, and again, you got another busy 24, 48 hours ahead of you. Thank you, Blake.
See you, Mike. Thank you for having me, brother.
All righty. That was Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious Sports Network covering the LSU Tigers and what a wild ride is going to be for the next 48 hours with high school recruiting just hours away from happening. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience.
I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long, and it's Tulane Tuesday. We have on with us the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall, and our segment weekly is brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next-day delivery throughout South Louisiana. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
What's up, guys? I appreciate y'all having me on, as always.
Coach, before we get into the other stuff, I'll ask you about looking back at the game Saturday against Charlotte. And I know you got to be unhappy. I mean, a win's a win, and that's what you strive for each and every week. But it was a sloppy win turning the football over. And I'm sure, you know, that's you enjoy the moment because it gets you into the conference championship game. But you're still a little bit pissed off because of the way it could have been a lot worse, and it was self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah, we didn't play clean at all offensively in regards to ball security. I mean, we put the ball on the ground, the fumbles four times. We only lost one of them, and we threw two picks. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't win games playing that way. If we do that this week, we're gonna get embarrassed.
Coach, kind of tell everybody a little bit about, you know, your emotions over the last 60 hours, because it's a whirlwind. And most people, they never put into that spot you in. They may change jobs, but, you know, it's sort of a clean kind of roll with a job. Sometimes you give a 2-week notice and you work there for 2 weeks, you go somewhere else. Sometimes you give a 2-week notice and they tell you, hey, listen, you've been super here, but you got the role. Or we go in a different direction. But what it does with your family, because, okay, they get affected in this too. And, you know, your players, your assistant coaches, everything involved with it, the emotions of what's happened here over the last 60 to 72 hours for you.
Yeah, it's been, it's been wild. It starts with our players, though, man. It's all about them first. And, you know, that's probably the most bittersweet part of taking on another opportunity for the future is the guys that you coach, you're going to miss. And so, you know, the relationship piece and, you know, I feel very privileged to be able to finish the job here on this year's team. The calendar we live in, it doesn't really make any sense. You have to make a decision while you're still coaching a team right now on whether you're going to go coach a team next year while you're still playing games, which I think makes no sense. The NFL doesn't do that. The NFL has a model where, like I said before, they play football games in their seasons. And after the season, coaches can take jobs. You have free agency. You have the draft. Then you start mini camp, OTAs, training camp, football season again. And then, but there's no movement of, you know, other than trades of people and the and coaches in particular during the season. So that part's kind of goofy, but I love our kids that we get to coach our guys. We got a freaking great group of guys. You know, when I told them on Sunday, there's a lot of high fives, hugs, and a couple tears that were shed. Some of those might've been by me. But you know, and when I took the job at Tulane, I told the administration here, I'm not taking this job to just leave for a Power Four job. I feel like I got a better job here at Tulane than a lot of the Power Four jobs. I told them, look, I'm leaving for what I consider to be a top 10 type of job. And one of those that I think you can win it all and you play at the highest level and coach maybe the best players there are. And so I felt like the University of Florida presented that situation. I've turned down multiple P4 job offers and, you know, but feel very honored and privileged I get to finish this one the right way here.
Coach, I don't know if I would have said this 5 years ago, but I'll say it now. I think in today's world of, you know, late teenagers, early 20s, they understand this very well. Because, okay, they in that world too. They can take off and leave. They got representation like I do, like you do. They can go somewhere else if they want to. People say, well, the distractions. My thing is, well, okay, you got two coaches that are leaving. Okay, it's how you manage that and how you want to finish the job you started. No one wants to leave and it ends, okay, this weekend. No one wants that to happen. And so I don't know how you feel about it, but I think, because you're a younger cat than me, but one of the deals, I think teenagers, 20s people, they understand that, and their focus is going to be on, hey, listen, we started this. We got a chance to advance. Let's finish it. The part about distractions, I think a lot of times, Coach, you make your own distractions.
I don't disagree. I think our players are more resilient, more focused on things than probably the average person. I'd also say this, to your point, they now have the ability to move, right? Like they can take different opportunities at different times. And because of that, I think there may be it's a little more understanding on everybody's side of like, hey, coaches are allowed to move. Players are allowed to move. And you know, we lost a ton of players last year, the transfer portal. I stayed. I had other job offers and stayed because I didn't like any of the fits maybe at the time for my family. And so, you know, players now, because they have movement, I think it's a little bit more normalized for them to understand like what we go through now, because you know what? They go through it too. They have to make the same type of decisions as young men and adults, young adults, about what they're going to do with their future. And so I think because of that, there's probably a little bit more empathy and understanding and be able to put yourself in the other side's shoes.
When you play North Texas, they got a dude that's playing quarterback for them. And you talk about a wild story in Drew Mestermacher. And I tell this to Bobby Hebert all the time. Looking back at his high school career, he was a zero recruit. So was Hebert. They were both zero recruits. Bobby didn't play quarterback until his senior year at South Lafourche, and end up, you know, he had the, you know, the horseshoe pointed up straight. They end up winning the state championship that year. You know, I look at Drew and, okay, he played safety. He was a great punter. He was a walk-on. And then all of a sudden, now you put a quarterback. When Bob was the last scholarship given to Northwestern, they weren't sure he was going to play quarterback, and at one time even talked about moving him to tight end. But for people who haven't watched him play and how big he is And, man, when you're completing 70% of your passes, when you throw 382 and 29 touchdowns, four interceptions, and this is just his second year as a full-time quarterback. That, to me, Coach, is amazing to watch how successful he's been at the collegiate level.
Yeah, it's very impressive. He's a good player. He makes great decisions. He's quick, and he's a great processor. He makes, like I said, the right decision in a fast manner, and I got a lot of respect for how he's playing. They've done a nice job with his development. He plays the game the right way. They're dynamic, explosive offensively, and he's a huge part of their success.
So, Coach, it's going to be at Yeoman Stadium. I remember last year you had to go up to West Point for the AAC championship game against Army. You know, I guess this is the first of like a two-part question for you. It's like, is there still like that bad taste from losing the AAC championship game last year and kind of wanting to rectify it this year, the fact that being at home as well? But also, you know, with this matchup against North Texas, they're the favorites entering this game, kind of underdog mentality with it being, you know, at Yeoman Stadium where you haven't lost all season long.
Yeah, so the bad taste part, yeah, for me, I think if you're involved in any game like that, it didn't go the way you wanted, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. I'll never forget it. I felt, you know, I didn't feel very good after that game, still don't feel very good about that game. It's one of those that never going to feel good about. And so, no, unfortunately, can't do anything about that game, though. And don't so many of these guys here now weren't even a part of that. And so that's the hardest thing is, like, there's not like a whole lot of carryover with our players because so many of these guys here weren't there. And so, and then in regards to the underdog component, I mean, look, it doesn't matter if you're favored or you're an underdog, you gotta go play the game. You get what you earn. We gotta go earn an opportunity to play well. And, we need to play good. It's great to have the game at home. I am excited that we don't have to travel. That makes it nice. But we just need to go play good football and give ourselves the best opportunity to be successful.
Coach, over the weekend, I got to talk to Coach Ogeron, and I was asking him, that wasn't really the reason I called him, but it somehow got around to this, but I asked him, what's the big difference when you play these conference championship games and you get into these title games? And he was quick with the answer, and he was like, hey, listen, everybody's got, you needed a quarterback to get you there. You got to have some skill people. But he said, T-Boy, it's all about up front. The most physical teams win. And he said, you know, going back to when he was at Miami of Florida with Jimmy Johnson and Dennis Erickson, and when he was at USC with Pete Carroll, and then that 2019 team at LSU, he was like, Mike, we won. We had great skill people everywhere. But we won those games as a team because we were the more physical brand. Do you feel that is the key component here as you are playing in this conference championship game, that the more physical team ends up winning? And when you get down to, let's say it's, you know, the top 12, that plays a huge part in who can advance.
I think that's pretty fair to say. Yeah. I mean, what I would tell you is the part of that component is the team that's maybe also the freshest and the healthiest, so they can play the game with physicality. You know, I think that's when you get this late in the year, it almost becomes a war of attrition, you know, and how has your team held up as the year's gone? And the team that wins the physical battle is going to win more times than not. And so we got to be physically and mentally ready to play the game the right way. And it is a line of scrimmage deal. I mean, you went up front, you know, and you can throw the score, but you got to run to win usually. And I think it's one thing that makes this North Texas team so impressive is everybody kind of thinks of them as a pass spread offense, but they really run the football really well. So we've got to win at the line of scrimmage and win in the run game.
When you're in the team meetings today and about setting up a game plan against a team that's dynamic with this, I think having more chances of the ball, and so you might have to take a chance. That might be a fourth and a half yard. That might be an onside kick. That might be a fake on a punt. I think possessions here in a game like this are the key. You can't throw that little two-yard pass and then set you up. You second and eight, and then you become third and six. That puts your offense in a bad spot. I think this is where you almost you got to go back to what has worked for you, but you got to play too with a little bit of house money and take some chances somewhere to get more possessions offensively and not put their offense back out on the field.
Yeah, if you can steal possession through a calculated risk in a game like this, that's huge. You know, I think it's something you have to be prepared to get the right looks, make the right calls, and, you know, take a chance when you need to take a chance, but you need to make sure you have at least some insight as to why you're taking that chance. You know, don't just take one to take one. Make sure you understand what you feel like the odds of it working are, and you got to roll the dice a little bit, though, to your point, and make something happen sometimes. So we'll have to play aggressive. We'll have to play with an attacking mindset because this is going to be a team that's hard to beat, man. They've only lost one game all year.
Coach, I got to tell you this. We've done this for 2 years, every Tuesday, and we've done it in the off season. And, man, you've always been square with us. You give us when I ask you a question, you answer it.
Oh, yeah.
Not some of this mealy-mouth stuff that I get from some of them. I mean, it's like word garbage come out of their mouth. They don't tell you anything. And how much we appreciate that and how much I hear it. Man, we enjoy those segments that you've done with John Sumrall and Tulane and what he's done for this community. Because you stuck up, you know, a couple of times, you know, for, hey, Louisiana, New Orleans, you stuck up for them. But how much we appreciate, Charlie and I appreciate what you brought to the table interview-wise. And I couldn't thank you any more than I could actually tell you. But the one thing I will leave it with, get ready to hear Tom Petty a lot.
Hey, I got it. Hey, listen, here's the deal, man. I like to win this game, and I have to do this interview next week, too.
There we go.
Hey, okay, we got you on tape. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Coach, thank all you right, so boys. Much. Appreciate it, buddy. All
thanks, right. Coach.
See y'all. Yeah, all roll right. Wave.
That was the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Sumrall. And, hey, says he'll be back next week.
Let's he ain't he backing down.
No back down, just like Tom Petty, baby. And he'll hear that in his ear quite a bit. Tulane Tuesday with John Sumrall is brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next-day delivery throughout South Louisiana. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. Want to tell everybody for the first time, hey, we're doing Sports Talk at the Manning Family Children's Radiothon 4 to 8. Bobby J, myself, Steve Geller will be there. Archie Manning will join us along with Deuce McAllister. Cooper Manning along with Eli Manning will call in. So 4 to 8 tomorrow, we will be involved with the Manning's Children Radiothon. And so we want you to listen in. Also, too, if you got money that you can spare a little bit, you got to think about what they do at Children's Hospital. They would really appreciate it. We went a little bit long on both segments. We'll be back to finish it up here on Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here on our number one of Sports Talk, want to thank the head football coach at Tulane, John Sumrall, for being on with us. Also, Blake Ruffino from the RU Sirius Network covering the LSU Tigers. We'll be back after the news with a lot more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettigy along with Charlie Long. A little after 5:20, we'll be joined by our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereth. He just did the past Saints game along with Chris Myers, Jen Hale, with the Saints and the Dolphins in a sort of a rainy sort of day in Miami. I know Jen's always told me, Mike, the weather's always great there. Not so much this time. So we'll have Mark on with us to talk a little bit about the NFL and certainly about the Saints and his evaluation of Tyler Shuck. And I'll be honest with you where, man, the play calling, and they played like in a goldfish bowl in the first half. You saw, man, that Tyler Shuck dude got some talent in the second half. And come on, you got to help him, though. Yeah, sometimes it's a tough catch, but you got to be able to help him out. And with no running game, he's sort of got all this on his back. Let's go to our talk and text line. Let's go to Patrick in Houston. Patrick, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's great to hear from you, especially from the one and only legendary Mike Dettigy. Good to hear from you, sir, man. Hey, I wanted to call about the, a job vacancy, college coaching vacancy that hasn't really received a lot of notoriety or publicity of late. Obviously with, the situation at Florida and LSU and some of the more higher profile vacancies, but the Tulane job now being open. What do you think, Mike, we've met before, and if you remember me, you probably know that I'm a big Southern Miss Golden Eagles fan.
I do remember.
Yes, sir. I'm hearing that Charles Huff might be in contention for the Tulane job that he's talked about as a potential candidate. I think that he's lost some sort of luster, right? Who do you think are the real contenders for the vacancy?
I would think Charles Huff, because of what Kevin Harris talked about, that he would prefer a guy with head coaching experience is in the mix. But is Charles Huff also in the mix at Memphis? Okay. He knows that area pretty well, too. No, that dude can coach.
Yes, he can.
Look what he took over. And it was a mess at Southern Miss. And to get to 7 wins, I know he lost the last 3, but, man, it takes nothing away what he was able to do to give some oomph back at Southern Miss. I've always felt that if John Summerall leaves, the one guy that would get a whole lot of interest, and he has, is Blake Baker. Okay, he's a Tulane guy, the former linebacker at Tulane. The one criteria he doesn't have, he's never been a head coach. But, he's making like $2.5 million a year at LSU. Okay, I think they were paying Coach Summer all 3. And you got all the responsibilities, and I know Blake has always talked about, hey, I enjoy being the coordinator, but he would love to be a head coach. So I think Charles Huff is going to have people after him because of the success he had at Marshall and then coming to Southern Miss. And I think most people would have been glad if you got 4 or 5 wins. He gets 7. That to me tells me a lot about what type of coach Charles Huff is. And I think we're seeing it also happen at LSU with Lane Kiffin. Talent evaluation. He wants a certain player that he feels will fit what he does offensively and what he'll have defensively. Look how quickly Charles Huff was able to go out in the portal and get a lot of those players. I think Charles Huff is one hell of a coach. If he's at Southern Miss next year, hey, they'll be lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of teams, now with all of this happening, and it's like 52 pickup. They just throwing the cards out now, and coaches going here and there. Charles Huff is a guy that I would have a lot of interest in because of what he's done at Marshall and what he did in that 1 year at USM. Yeah, if you ask me who was the front runner, I would think it's Blake Baker. It's his job to make the decision. Do you want to stay at LSU and maybe look around? But you want to be a head coach. You might not get that opportunity to come into a program, and you part of the legacy. You were there at Tulane as a football player. So to answer your question, I'm a big Charles Huff fan. I would think if he doesn't get the job here, he'll certainly get a lot of look-see at University of Memphis.
You're on the money, Mike, as far as Huff goes. I remember he was a terror at Marshall. In his last year at Marshall, he won the Sun Belt Championship in Lafayette, so I remember that much.
Yeah.
He did a great job with the Thundering Herd up there. And then he comes to Southern Miss, who, as Patrick had kind of mentioned there, they were on a down stretch, and then all of a sudden, year one, he gets them bowl eligible, which was a big turnaround immediately. And that's what you can see from time to time. I don't necessarily think that people should have unrealistic expectations for Lane Kiffin in his first year at LSU, but being able to use the portal to instantly fill up holes on your roster moving from year to year, whether you lose players to the portal, lose players to the draft, as you had kind of talked about earlier in the week, Mike, I mean, that's the way to do it. You go and plug and play. It's just a new era of college football. And some coaches are ready to adjust. And Charles Huff is one of them, alongside Lane Kiffin, for that matter, where they're destined to have success in this era. So I think he would be a good hire for Tulane if he's the guy. But as you had mentioned, it sounds like Blake Baker is probably the front runner in this. Tulane alum, it makes a lot of sense. He was a linebacker there from 2000 through 2004 before his coaching career brought him all the way to LSU. I know that Kiffin had extended, you know, basically the offer for Blake to stay on as the DC of the Tigers if he wanted to, but it's going to ultimately come up to him. And as you said, Mike, if he wants to be a head coach someday, where better than your alma mater?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's not like the moving van got to move your furniture and your clothes too far from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. And you know the area, you know the team. And I will say this, man, what Willie Fritz did here was Coach Fritz did a great job in being able to put all the building blocks around. But you are coaching year to year. I think what a lot of fans sometimes don't understand is it's not like this is a three-year plan.
Mike,
this is a one-year plan.
You remember when Coach Summerall first came on with us and he was just like, I think this was back in the spring, and he had said, I had four returning starters from last year's roster with everyone that had either left through the transfer portal or had gone through the draft. He had like about four, maybe five returning starters from last year's team. That's why, you know, I went on this rant during the First Take show about how lazy Florida fans have been in reacting negatively to Summerall going there. He's a winner, man. I mean, just like Kiffin and Charles Huff and all these other coaches that have adjusted well to the portal era and building rosters year to year to contend for conference championships, that's what Summerall does. Mike, he's been a head coach for 4 years, four conference championships. I don't think he's slowing down anytime soon, even with the jump to the SEC.
Okay, everybody's whizzed, well, a lot of fans in Florida. I won't say everybody, but a lot of fans in Florida whizzed off because Kiffin didn't take that job.
Yeah, I get it.
But bottom line, and you look at the success they had with Coach Spurrier and then with Urban Meyer, offensive-minded coaches. But I think the one thing, and listening to Coach Summerall yesterday in his presser, he was like, I want to build this staff. He knows his strength is on defense. You don't know everything as a head coach. And he knows he's going to have to build around him a very good offensive staff. And I'd like to recruit at University of Florida. Man, within 120 miles, I think I could get 90% of my players.
Right.
Look at the population in that area. Man, you got a lot of really good football players in and around Gainesville. And so I think he's going to win there. He's a winner. He said that, and I agree with him. He's a winner. And he's going to win at Florida. And I wish him all the best. But at Tulane, man, I think this is Blake Baker's job to say yes or no. And for me, why would you say no? You get a shot to be a head coach. That's a lot different than being a coordinator, and you call your own shots. And you know why? A big part of it? I get to hire my own staff. Sometimes guys get thrown onto your staff that you didn't hire. That's why you want to be the head coach. You want to have that final say on staff. When we come back, we'll have on with us Mark Schlereff from the NFL on Fox, our Odyssey insider, right after this break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And we're joined by our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. You can listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark, I got to ask you, how's things going with the podcast so far?
Things are good, man. I appreciate that. We're rolling along. You can find us on YouTube or anywhere else you get your Stink of Truth podcast fixed. So things are good, man. And you know, of course, me, I'm killing Kansas City. From where we sit here in Denver, we can't even see Kansas City. They're so far behind us. So that makes me feel really, really good.
It took you a few years to finally say it, but you finally are able to get a little bit of spread there. But
my gosh, it is. I'm telling you what, it's been miserable following that team. You know, the earliest they've exited in the last 7 years is overtime of the AFC Championship game. Twice in the last 7 years, they've been to every AFC Championship game, and their earliest exit over the last 7 years. Is overtime in the AFC Championship game. Do you understand how ridiculous that is? And we've been having to sit here in Denver and just take it. Oh, gosh, it feels good to be ahead.
You were able to do the Saints-Dolphins game. And, you know, the thing I take away from that, in the first half of that game, game plan or whatever. And, listen, it's great to get the quarterback into the groove in that little 2-yard completion or 3-yard completion downfield. But my thing is, they finally took kind of the chains off of Tyler Shuck a little bit in the second half. And man, he really was impressive to me. Some of those throws were really good. He can shoot that ball in between arms and hands. And I come away from that game really impressed with Tyler Shuck and what he was able to do in the second half. Now the Dolphins, You know, the Saints are not a good football team, but the Dolphins ain't good either. Now, I would love to have the Achan. I would love to have that cat on my team. But, man, they better than the Saints. But to say they considerably better, man, I don't know about that.
Yeah, listen, man, I'm really impressed with Shuck. From meeting with him, talking to him, like, one, and I said on the broadcast, man, that dude loves the grind. He loves the prep. And I get it all the time, man, when I hear people talk about our players go, man, I just go out and ball. I'm like, okay, check that guy off. He'll have a short career. When I have a guy that talks about the preparation and the fall in love with the film study and trying to decipher, like, who you can attack, who you should stay away from, what guys are good at, what they're not good at, like, that to me is an indicator that a dude really understands, you know, the professionalism of playing this sport. And I said it all the time. I used to say it to my son all the time. I'm like, just because you play a pro sport doesn't make you professional. I was a professional football player. It's what I did. I prepped, I studied. I mean, I was prepared at all times for everything. And that's what I came away with. Now, a couple of things, man. Change your protections on the line of scrimmage, finding the open guy, having the poise in the pocket, being convicted when you throw the football. He has all of those things. I mean, every one of those things. He's got movement skills. He's got a big-time arm talent. And, hey, listen, man, two things. The very final drive, second down and one, he puts it between two defenders on the hands of Chris Olave, who's your best wide receiver. Dude, catch the ball for a touchdown and win the game. Let's go home. And I understand it's a tough catch. I don't care. I don't. Yeah, I don't care that it's a tough catch. Make the play. That quarterback put it on the numbers. And then on the third down and one where they threw the ball, third down and one, they ran a defense that they ran earlier in the game that Rasul Douglas got an interception on. And that looked like they were in like a form of man-to-man. And all of a sudden, safety goes over the top. Rasul Douglas squats and takes away the stick route, the inside-out breaking route. He squats, lets the wide receiver go deep on him because the safety is going over the top. And they basically like a trap cover two. And he reads it and intercepts the ball in the stick route. They ran that exact same defense on third down and one against the exact same route combination. And Shuck looked at that stick route and said, nope, I ain't going to throw it because I'm not going to get picked off here in this critical moment. That, to me, was like, you know, a guy that's not going to repeat the same mistake he made earlier in the game, to learn from that. So I walk away from that game, guys, being completely convinced that guy's got a chance to be really good. And so for you guys in New Orleans, I would say this. Your team's not very good. Your team's got a lot of work, right? Like a lot of personnel work that they've got to work on right now. But man, if there's not a quarterback that just you cannot live without in the draft, there's going to be somebody that wants to trade up and go get a guy, and you're going to pick up, you know, two first rounders and maybe something else. Like you're sitting in a pretty good position right now if Shuck can continue to do the things he's done early with his first four starts.
Mark, one of the things, this was Saturday before I had to do LSU pregame, and I had a conversation with Coach Ed Ogeron, and he brought – I asked him, what was the big thing when you get to these conference championship games, and then when you get into the playoff outlets and everything, what's the big difference? And he brought up to me physicality. Okay, winning up front. Everybody's got a quarterback that's pretty good, or you wouldn't be that far down the road. Everybody's got a running back and a receiver that can play. But he said, would you see the big difference when you get into the playoffs or you get into these, you know, conference championship games, is which team is the more physical team? And I think about that also applies to the NFL down the stretch. Which teams can be the more physical team and be able to run the football and stop the run? I think that's so critical because that is the one thing with college and pro football that meshes together. They're the same way. The more physical team is going to win. Your thoughts on, as we head into the back stretch of the 2025 season, that physicality and winning up front, yeah, it's always important, but it's really important when you're going to catch some inclement weather, which if in some cities you're going to catch in December and into January. And I think what Ed said is absolutely correct, and it also applies to the NFL game.
There's no question. Toughest team's going to win. You look at New England, all the championships they won over the years meant disciplined, smart, and tough. That's the formula. And, you know, and right now you look at what Vrabel's got going on, man. They're going to be physical and nasty up front. And, you know, and defensively they're going to stop the run. That's what they do. And, like, that, there is no substitute for that. And, like, it, to me, 100% of the time, the more physical team, you know, if you put me a physical versus finesse, the physical team's going to win out. It's just the way it's just the way it works. You know, what's funny about that. Back in the day, back in, you know, my time being with the Redskins back in the day, you know, we pride ourselves, NFC East football, we pride ourselves in being just bludgeoning people, just beating people up. And we did. Now, we did, and I'll never forget, we used to go to San Francisco or San Francisco come to us, and it was that Bill Walsh, you know, Seifert, hey, they don't practice in pads, and our coaches would preach about how much more calloused we are and how they're soft and they're a finesse team and they don't practice in pads. And then you go play them, and they would whip your ass. And you'd get back on the bus, and you'd be like, how do we lose 24-13, you know? And you'd look at the stat line, and Joe Montana would be 22 of 26, you know, and Roger Craig would have 102 yards rushing. And you look at it, and you're on the bus going, hey, man, we just got sold the bill of goods. Our coaches lied to us. Ain't nothing soft about that team. I don't care if they don't practice in pads. That team is physical. That team is tough. And – like, that's what wins. And then when you couple that toughness, that physicality, that nastiness with intelligence, and you couple it with, you know, guys that can play and guys that are, you know, are effective and guys that are explosive, well, then you got a formula for, you know, for being dominant. And I'm 100% with you. You win the trench, the battle of the trenches, you win the trench warfare, you're going to win a lot of football games. And I look at, like, Alabama all those years under Saban, man, they had a bunch of full-grown men playing offensive and defensive lines. They would just lean on you. They had men, you had boys, and eventually they just beat you down.
Insider Calls with Mark Slareff are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Charlie?
So, Mark, you're looking ahead. The Saints have a divisional matchup against the Buccaneers on the road in Tampa Bay, where they have played well in the past. But just kind of looking back at the first time these two teams met up, Mark, it felt like the moment that the Saints had that goal line stand, they get four straight stops basically at the 1 yard line, they hold Tampa Bay out, and then Spencer Rattler throws the pick six in the second quarter right after that. It just felt like the end of Rattler's time as the starter in New Orleans. And to your point about Tyler Shuck really making the most of his opportunity, he's really flashed it in his first four starts. He was thrown into that situation against the Buccaneers in the second half. And, I mean, it's kind of tough to just throw a player in the middle of the game. I know that Tyler has talked about he stays prepared for any kind of situation throughout the time when he was the QB2. But now as QB1, in the week of preparation leading up to this matchup, what are you kind of expecting from Shuck against the Buccaneers and Todd Bowles' defense? I know that they've fallen off in recent weeks. They've been injured all season long from the point where they beat the Saints and were 6-2. Now they're only 7-5. But they're still controlling the division. They've won it four straight years at this point. Your thoughts on Tyler Shuck and the Saints' offense against Todd Bowles' defense?
Yeah, well, one thing. I mean, Todd is always going to try to pressure you early, you know, pressure on first and second down. And a lot of run pressures. Wants to get you behind the chains, wants to get in second down in long situations. And then, you know, then get you in a third down and six, third down and six plus, third down and seven plus. And then, you know, show you pressure, but fall off play zone, make you throw it underneath, make you get rid of the ball and rally up and tackle. And so he's been kind of his, he's one of the, you know, one of the like one of the most blitzing kind of play callers on the defensive side of the ball. But it's surprising when you really look at it, a lot of it's on first down. A lot of it's about getting you behind the chains. A lot of it's against the run. And so got to be efficient on first down, and you've got to expect pressures on first down. If you're Shuck, if you're, you know, if you're Kellen Moore and Nussmeier, the offensive coaches. So that's something you got to look at. That's something you got to prepare for. But listen, man, like I said, I watched that guy on Sunday, and you know, I was great in the booth because I could hear them. I could hear the calls, I could hear the line calls changing. I re-ID in the mic, changing the line protection, changing where the slide is going to, being in complete control of the offense at the line of scrimmage. It was impressive for me, and so I think he'll be up to the task. I mean, obviously, you know, you talk about dominating the line of scrimmage. I think both tackles are really good for New Orleans. I think the inside three guys are replaceable. You know, I think they're just guys, and you need to be better across the line of scrimmage. You know, and I like Devin Neal. I don't know that he's necessarily a full-time starter in this league, but I like him. I like how hard he runs and everything, but I still am waiting for him to break his first tackle outside the numbers, you know, whether you're throwing the ball to him or you rather run it wide. He does a good job inside running, but like I just don't feel like he threatens the defense to break a tackle outside and take 160, you know. He's like, if he does break a tackle, take another five. And so there's a lack of dynamic nature there. Like I said, I like him. He's a bruiser between the tackles, but I just think there's an overall lack of talent. And, you know, Olave's a guy to me that I look at him and I think he's a really good player. I think you'd rather him just be a slot player and move the chains and do that stuff. I don't think he's like a legit X number one, you know, matchup dude out there. So there's a lot of work to be done. And for Shuck to be completing almost 70%, 68% of his passes, with the lack of weapons and the lack of just talent, again, I think it's a really impressive start. I talked about this on I have a podcast out today on the String of Truth, but it's the String of Truth Leftovers, where I just talk exclusively about the Saints-Miami game I just did. And I came away with that feeling really good about him as a second-round quarterback. I really do. I think he's right now as a young quarterback in his, you know, in his first season rookie, he's the best rookie of all the guys I've watched that are rookies right now playing. And, you know, that's two Cleveland quarterbacks and some of the others. And better, he's playing better right now than a lot of the second year quarterbacks out of that draft class last year with Penix and with, you know, with Caleb Williams and obviously the kid in Minnesota. He's playing better than any of those guys.
Mark, last question for you. Everybody's got an opinion on this, and I know you keep up with college football too. Your thoughts, Lane Kiffin to LSU.
Well, Lane Kiffin's a damn good coach. I think the college football system is broken. You know, the fact that he has to leave his team to go coach LSU or to go start to recruit for LSU, I think that part is broken. I think the players that can just, you know, anytime adversity hits, they can just pack up and go to someone else's team, or, you know, that they can just go leave and get more NIL money. I just think the system is broken. And so I'm not going to blame Lane Kiffin for taking advantage of it. He's a damn good coach, and his teams play exceptional football. Again, I don't like the way the system is. I don't feel sorry for the kids. I don't feel sorry for, like, this is the system that you play in. I just think the NCAA is a mess, and they need to have some institutional control and figure out a way to kind of rectify what's going on with the wild, wild west that is college football.
You get an amen from me on that, I guarantee.
Agreed.
You. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love to have you on, and, man, enjoy your insights. Who you got this week?
I am in Cleveland looking forward to seeing Shador play Cleveland and Tennessee. So, it's Tennessee is like a swift kick to the nether regions. But I'm looking forward to watching Cleveland. And Myles Garrett, man, you can't go wrong there.
No, indeed. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it, bud.
All right.
That was our Odyssey NFL Insider, Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark is the host of the Odyssey original, the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. When we come back, it won't be triple option. It'll be double coverage as Charlie Long and I will do it right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. It would be triple option. Steve's got a few things he's taking care of. So it'll be Charlie and I tomorrow when National Signing Day hits for LSU. One thing to remember. You didn't pay Lane Kiffin here to take somebody else's opinion on players. And you will see guys that have been committed to LSU for some time. And maybe, you know, Lane's saying, he doesn't fit what we do, and I'm going to go somewhere else. Now, some guys will make that decision to leave and not go to LSU. But now you got to trust that what you've spent a ton of money on as a head coach has his own opinion on players, and it might not be exactly what, you know, some of the ratings and everything else LSU has been in, and he's moved on, and he's looking at somebody else. So tomorrow, as we get all these commitments to come in, and normally I would say 85 to 90 come in the first day on a Wednesday. Remember, this is the class Lane Kiffin now has put his stamp on. This is not Brian Kelly's group. This is Lane Kiffin's group. And they will have names on there coming and going. You might be a little bit surprised about, but this is Lane Kiffin putting his stamp on his first recruiting class at LSU.
So, Mike, I'll go with my triple option here. Josh Pate does a great job covering college football, the Josh Pate College Football Show, and he had a real fun stat about the AP Top 25 poll. Mike, we're done with the regular season. We're going to conference championship week. We'll be doing our conference championship picks on Thursday for our weekly pick six segment. But Pate had an awesome stat about preseason ranked teams in the AP Top 25 that finished the regular season unranked. Mike, 25 teams, 12 of the teams that were in the preseason Top 25 poll finished the year unranked. Penn State was second. Clemson was fourth. LSU was 10th. Arizona State at 11th. Illinois at 12th. South Carolina at 13th. Florida at 15th, SMU at 16th, Kansas State at 17th, Iowa State at 22nd, Tennessee at 24th, and Boise State rounding it out at 25th. Just think about that. Entering the year, if I told you this back in August, that half of the AP Top 25 poll would finish the year unranked, Mike, it's an unbelievable stat, and it just shows how crazy college football has been, especially this year. All the movement, a lot of coaching firings as well that happened midseason for some of these teams like Penn State, like LSU, you know, like Florida that were on that list. It's just been a wild year to kind of follow and watch unfold.
And it's going to stay that way.
Yeah.
That's just the way college football is. It's not run by all the blue bloods anymore.
I'm not going to say it's –
because I hear that all the time, and one individual, he tells me this, it's still going to be run by the Blue Bloods. Is Indiana a Blue Blood in college football?
No, they're one of the worst programs.
Is Texas Tech a Blue Blood in college football? Look what's happened at Vanderbilt. And here, one of the craziest things today, the number one rated quarterback in the nation who had been committed to the University of Georgia for months, he decommitted today. Guess where he's going, Jared
Andy.
Curtis? Vanderbilt.
Clark Lee's doing great stuff there, Mike. He earned
Man,
that extension.
You think about this. If I'd have said that 10 years ago, you'd have said, no way. The number one ranked quarterback in the country is not going to Georgia so he can go to Vanderbilt? Goes to show you of all this movement that's happening here, the wheel is still spinning. It hasn't stopped yet. And it's not fixing to stop anytime soon. You're going to see next year, another group of two or three teams that you wouldn't think would be there all of a sudden make their way. And one team to watch, Houston. And what Willie Fritz is doing with the Cougars, man, he got it going. And he has really recruited well in a very fertile ground in the Houston area. We'll be back to finish it off here on our number two of Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here in our number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long in the 6 o'clock hour around 6:20. Ali Cosell covers the NBA and the Pelicans will be on, I guess, talk about the injury to Zion, which looks to be he'll be out for another 3 weeks. And so it's just a continuous deal over and over and over with him fighting injuries. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
Welcome on in, folks. Second half of Sports Talk. Getting underway. Let me get that out my mouth. Tuesday, December 2nd, a little too chilly, maybe outside, trying to stay warm here in the studio. Me and Charlie Long bringing you till 7 p.m. this evening. That's when Mike Haas, voice of the Saints, will take over for the Saints Hour. His special guest tonight will be kicker Charlie Smith. Want to hear more from the Irishman after a big day for him, getting to make his NFL debut, connecting on a kick, and hopefully a lot more to come for the Saints kicker. I did see today, too, Charlie, that the former Saints kicker in Blake Groupe has a new home. The Indianapolis Colts have brought him in.
Yeah, they waived the money badger, Michael Badgley, with one of the weirdest names, nicknames in sports. So they bring in Groupe. The Colts are another team that's kind of cycled through kickers in recent years. So there's no ill will towards Blake Groupe. Yes, he kind of struggled at points this year, but there was a reason that he was a team captain. He was beloved by his teammates, it just didn't work out. And sometimes that happens. And with kickers, you have to jump from spot to spot, and we hope it works out for Blake, especially because he's on the Colts in the AFC, where the Saints don't need to really worry about him.
Good news for him and another team where he ends up, where they play most of their games in a dome.
Right. So good luck to Blake, as we had mentioned. Charlie Smith, going back to him, though, because Mike is going to have a very extensive interview with him coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. Steve, did you see the video of like the pub in his hometown?
How can't you love that, right?
When he hit that 56-yard field goal and he just drilled it. And it would have probably been good from 65 or whatever. And the crowd in his hometown at that little local pub just went bananas. It was really, really cool to see. So I'm sure that Mike will ask him about that too.
Spreading that black and gold cheer and, you know, picking up more fans for the Who Dat Nation for sure there. Love to see that. And like Charlie said, just the scene at a local pub and just the joy and everyone for the fans there to see Charlie Smith connected on that kick. And like I'm saying, hopefully we see a lot more from that as well coming up this weekend. We'll be outside for his first matchup again in Tampa Bay. We'll keep an eye on what the weather's going to be like over there. Here it's a bit chilly, but that won't be too bad inside the Smoothie King Center this evening. But there will be that chill in the air, I guess you could say, Charlie, with news about Zion Williamson we got today, finding out that he's dealing with a grade 2 right hip abductor strain. He's already missed 11 games this season. He's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks. That's according to ESPN's Sham Sharnia. And Williamson, he's missed 8 straight games in November because of a hamstring issue, and he recently missed 2 games after he returned from that injury because, well, the games were the second of back-to-backs, and they were trying to, you know, managing his load. But the latest injury with him, I saw some of the tweets from the pregame press conference from James Borrego, Charlie, and even Coach doesn't know when this one really popped up. He just found out about it today.
It's the same thing every year. It's not just the injuries, it's the lack of communication. I mean, we got this, when was this? 2 hours ago at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
The Pelicans announced today that Zion Williamson has been diagnosed with a grade two right hip abductor strain. Medical imaging taken this morning confirmed the injury. Further updates will be provided as appropriate. When did this happen? Nobody knows. Steve, that is my biggest criticism, is the lack of communication with all of this. And it's the same thing with, like, Jordan Poole. We got an update about his injury in late November, and that it, you know, we would figure out more in a week. It's been past a week, and we still don't know when Jordan Poole is going to be back on the court for the Pelicans. It's the most frustrating part about this for the fans.
Murky communication.
But at the same time, my question to the Pelicans is, why are you bothering to sit them in back-to-backs? Because they've been doing that for 2 years now to limit the possibility of re-injuring himself. He just gets hurt anyways. You know what I mean? Like, that is unbelievably frustrating.
Right. The limiting him in the back-to-backs is clearly not an issue.
It's not working.
Right.
It's not working. So we'll talk with Ali Cosell here in a little bit so I can kind of cool down my jets a little. I just get so annoyed with so much regarding what's happening with the Pelicans. And I don't know. There's a lot of hot calls to move on, and I cannot blame a single Pelican fan. This has been a frustrating era from start to finish that has not provided any type of – Zion still hasn't played a playoff game, Steve.
Correct.
And we're in year 7, and it's the same song and dance every single year. Why do you expect it to change? Nick Friedell has been telling us that for years, by the way.
The talent level and what we have seen when he is out there, I think, is what you latch onto and hope for the best. But, you know, that the health, the bugaboo, whatever you want to call it, is not changing for him.
My only concern at this point, Steve, does he have any value? Realistically. Because you continue to see this year after year after year. Does he have... I know, I understand any Pelican fan that says, cut him loose.
Yeah.
Just get rid of him. I'm tired of it.
I do think there is some value there, but definitely you're not going to get what he should be worth.
If you can get anything, move on. That's where I'm at, Steve. I'm just tired of it.
We saw them get a decent package, I thought, back for Brandon Ingram at the time. But, I mean, look at B.I. this year right now.
Well, that's another similar situation there,
right,
where David Griffin didn't have any type of leverage in trading B.I. Everyone knew that they weren't going to re-sign him. So I don't think the Pelicans have any leverage in a potential Zion move, because you've seen how it's worked out here, or how it hasn't worked out here, for 7 years. So it's a day late and a dollar short. But like you kind of said, Steve, if you can get anything for him, and we'll ask Ali about that, kind of get his thoughts about, you know, what is Zion's value, if there is any at this point. And then just cut loose. I'm right there with the fans, man. It's been aggravating, to say the least.
Coming up, pregame coverage, 6:30, tip-off, 7 p.m. on WWL 870 AM. That's going to be Pels versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're going to come back with more, talking to Ali Cosell, NBA writer, breaking down all thing birds right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, folks. Steve and Charlie here with you on Sports Talk, letting you folks know pregame coverage of Pelicans versus Minnesota T-Wolves going to be starting 6:30 on 870 AM, tip-off 7 p.m. to help us break all that down and all the news going on with the Pels. NBA writer covering the Pelicans, Ali Cosell, here on WWL. Ali, always appreciate the time, man. You staying warm tonight?
Definitely, Steve. Charlie just told me he was hot, so I told him just to literally go outside because it's cold out there.
Yeah, no, I need to, Ollie. I need to just take a break and go down to the elevator and go outside, just cool down a little bit because the Zion news has got me hot-headed.
I was going to say, Charlie's feeling hot because of the news today with Zion Williamson, not because of the temperature, but, I mean, what can we say more right now, Ollie? It's definitely frustrating. There was the belief that maybe this year could finally be different. He looked to be in shape, and now we're getting word of an adductor strain, and we're seeing from, I guess, Sham Sharney putting out there that they plan on reevaluating him in another 3 weeks.
Right, yeah, and then the Pelicans followed up with the similar news, right?
Yeah.
Stating that outcome. And if you look up grade two injuries to the abductor, it's a minimum of usually 3 to 6 weeks, right, your shelf. So it just depends on how a player heals. But again, when you take into consideration Zion's history, usually, right, he's always tended to return to the latter part of any timetable. So it's disappointing. Yeah, the question we always have, right, with Zion is if he was to get in really good shape, like the best shape possible, would that change potentially, right, his injury, propensity for injuries? And we got the answer, I thought, we got the first part down because this summer he got himself in really good shape. But again, started this season, he's already been injured several times, and what, we're just a quarter of the way through the season. So it doesn't feel like anything's different. That's probably the biggest disappointment. Doesn't sound like he can get over this injury hurdle, right?
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Every year, Ollie. I mean, we've talked to you for years now about the Pelicans, and you know, you buy into the hype, oh, Zion's looking good, and then all of a sudden injury issues just crop up. And it's, you know, typically it's been hamstrings most of the time, but now it's an adductor injury. I had texted one of our listeners, is just like, he's going to be out for the rest of this year, talking about the calendar year, poor wording by me. We're not going to see him until past the New Year's. When they say reevaluated in 3 weeks, that's the number one issue for me, Ollie, and this is part of the rant that I went on in the first segment, is the communication aspect of this. The fact that James Borrego is coming out and basically saying like he had no idea.
Till this morning.
Pelican fans were blindsided by this. The lack of communication on injuries has been frustrating, to say the least, from the Pelicans.
It is. And I will say this isn't the first time that something like this has happened regarding Zion, right? Where he'd played in the game and then they either had a day off or something along those lines. And then, of course, the injury report that comes out, he's not listed on. But then the following day, he's added to it, or suddenly there's injury news regarding Zion. So like I said, I remember it's happened at least once, maybe twice previously. So honestly, that boils down to me is that it being the player, right? Because I know the last instance that this had happened, he didn't notify Pelicans medical staff or whoever he needed to say, hey, something's bothered me right after the game. And I'm imagining something similar probably happened here, because that's the only way, honestly, any of this makes sense. Because I know the Pelicans, I know a lot of the people here, they do try and be transparent. So it's obviously when they got the injury news is what's the question mark. And I tend to think that it probably wasn't delivered to them until probably even maybe as late as this morning.
Yeah, it's just, once again, frustrating is an understatement. Ollie, we have a lot of people that we've been talking to, listeners, Pelican fans, that are just like cut loose, cut bait. I mean, at this point, we're in year seven, and it's the same thing every single year. But my response to it, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is just what type of value does Zion have on the market at this point? Because you've seen what he's done in New Orleans, you've seen the flashes when he's healthy, but obviously when he's healthy is the biggest stick up there because it just isn't consistent by any stretch of the imagination. Do you think there is a market for Zion if Joe Dumars and the Pelicans leadership were to just say, time to move on?
I do think there's a market for him. When I checked in religiously with everybody involved over the summer, he had a market. There were teams ready to trade for him, and that was coming off of, you know, last season's terrible disappointment, right, where he didn't play in half the games, anywhere close to it. So the reason teams are willing to take a bet, and I've talked to several people to get a really good definitive answer, is it's simply for this reason. If you can't draft or trade for generational talent, right, that's at the top of his game, or one that looks like he will get there, like, say, a Cooper Flagg from last year's draft, then you take a chance on a guy that has the potential but hasn't lived up to it, right? And the reason you do that is because you think you can find the problem, right? You can solve the problem. And for a lot of opposing teams, they think they probably could do a better job with Zion Williamson, right, especially from a medical standpoint and or just getting him to be more responsible, to be better with, say, the program,
right? So if you're, say, a Pat Riley with Miami Heat and you know how every player you've brought in, how they fall in line, well, you'd probably be more apt to take a chance on, say, a Zion Williamson because of how your program really gets people to fall in line. If you think that's the only thing or one of the biggest things holding Zion back, then of course you take that chance because generational talents aren't out there. There's not too many of them out there. So that's why you take a chance on a guy like that. And I think some team probably would if the Pelicans do, say, put him on the block.
Well, we know no Zion for a while, but who's available tonight? I know there were a few question marks going into this game, Ali, but who's in and who's out for this evening that you know of?
Yeah, so this morning, Eve, Missy, and Zion were questionable. But, of course, we learned the Zion news a couple hours after the initial news. But Eve, Missy ruled out for tonight, and that's okay. Not a surprise to me, guys. He twists his ankle badly in that Warriors game, and I was shocked he played against the Lakers the following day. So him to be out tonight, not surprised there. But Pelicans at least do have Trey Murphy back tonight. Jordan Hawkins, who's also overcome an illness over this past weekend, he'll be playing too.
When you look at the job James Borrego's done so far, how do you feel that the front office is looking at him? Is there a chance that he would be a contender to end up the next head coach, the full-time head coach of this team?
I think there's definitely a chance, but I wouldn't say the odds are better than, say, 50-50.
Gotcha.
We've already heard the rumors out there. I've talked to some people. It seems like, you know, just like the way the new front office led by Joe Dumars and Troy Weaver want to bring in certain players that they like, I think I can definitely imagine the same being with the head coach, right? So James Borrego, for him in order to stick around, would really have to do a magnificent job, right? Along the lines of turning this team completely around, probably pushing for the play-in tournament, if not getting in entirely. But I've heard the biggest thing is if he could prove to build a top 10 offense with this team, especially say around Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen, that would give him a leg up. But otherwise, I expect that he'll probably be replaced over the summer.
You know, Ali, when I was looking at the Pelicans' schedule, we all knew that November was going to be rough, and they missed out on a couple opportunities, especially kind of late in the month. The game against the Warriors stands out to me. The game specifically against the Grizzlies, where you just couldn't really close out that Memphis team at home. A couple missed opportunities, but you kind of look ahead. You have the Nets game coming up in about a week from now. You play the Bulls again, who you had just beaten. You play the Trailblazers, the Pacers, the Mavericks again, who you've already split with this year. There's some opportunities to pick up some wins, but my question to you is, at this point, you know, a 3-18 hole that you're in, you got to do more than just pick up a couple wins here and there. You got to be able to go on a run if you want to have any semblance of a hope of, like you had mentioned, getting back into that quote-unquote play-in conversation.
Yeah, you would at least have to play, you think, 500 ball and then hope to get lucky for that 10th spot, which does feel attainable. Right. I mean, when you look at the playing standings, yeah, it seems like 7 and 8, you're going to have to be better than 500. But after that, you know, it kind of becomes a toss up. So it becomes injury luck at that point for a lot of teams still vying for one of those two spots. But also just playing at least mediocre basketball, at least give yourself a chance. So what I'm looking for, guys, honestly, is the Pelicans are going to have kind of a softer part of the schedule thanks to this tournament, in-season tournament that the NBA's got going on. So the Pelicans will play two games in roughly about 10 days. That gives James Borrego a chance to get these guys in practice. That gives them a chance to also work with the young guys, running more of the offense, getting just everybody more comfortable, and doing it without Zion. Plus, you get to work, going to your point, Charlie, about late-game execution, you get to finally work on those things. I've been told that the Pelicans have had like 3 practices to do anything since James Borrego was installed in. Late game situations are one of those things that coaches like to go over, and he hasn't really had a chance yet.
It's really funny because it feels like the Saints and the Pelicans are working with opposite issues, where the Pelicans have gotten off to good starts at times throughout the season. Every Pelican fan knows exactly what I'm about to say. The dreaded third quarter. You come out of halftime and you just get bludgeoned, and you either blow a big lead or, you know, a game that's tight ends up becoming a blowout. I mean, what can you really do with that, though, Ali, other than, you know, the Pelicans coaching staff knows that it's been a consistent issue, and it hasn't just been under Borrego, it was under Willie Green as well for years here. How can they really get that fixed and figured out? Because if you can just get that one bugaboo quarter off your back, you might be able to pick up some wins here and there.
Yeah. To your point, I think they've won 3 of the last 4 games, the third quarters. Maybe it's all 4. It's something along those lines where actually it's just flown under the radar, because at some point they've been walloped by the other team, right? But yeah, to your point, like over the first 16, 17 games, they only had won 2 third quarters, I remember looking up, and it was by just like a point and 2 points. So it's consistently been a problem. You've been a fan of this team, you know that. So I think, honestly, where you go to with something like this, it's just a player's mentality. It's all about how you come out of the third quarter. Do you still have that fire in your belly, say, when you do the start of the game or when it's to come down the last 5 minutes of a close game? Can you summon your best and play at your best with the focus, intentions, all that thing? And that's what we haven't seen, I think, consistently, right? When you have spotty leadership, and you got to think Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, their availability over the last handful of years has been just very spotty, so they haven't been really out there to lead. That's what you kind of look to, is those type of guys, those leaders that bring you out of a halftime, set the tone for you. And since they haven't had that, I think that's been the biggest reason why they failed, like coming out in third quarter. So if you get that part figured out, then I think that's when you finally can see some actual change in the third quarter mentalities.
Ollie, curious, do you think there's anything to the rumor mill swirling around Jonathan Kuminga of the Golden State Warriors? I know the Pelicans have been mentioned as a potential trade partner with them.
Yeah, I think what the Warriors are doing is, honestly, they're trying to find any kind of home for Kuminga, and you can't blame them.
Yeah.
So they probably would, right, even maybe want to take a chance on Zion. But as far as the Pelicans, I just can't imagine it. He's another guy that's a non-shooter. And I think if you're going to have to choose between Zion and Queen, which seems easy on paper to us, but it can only be one of those type of players, right? Since Kuminga doesn't really space the floor for it, I don't see Joe Dumars, Troy Weaver being interested in that type of player to put next to Derrick Queen, no.
Looking at the matchup, I guess tonight and also Thursday, you got back-to-back games in the Smoothie King Center hosting Minnesota. Obviously, you know, Ant-Man and a lot more other problems on this T-Wolves squad. What do you see the best way to attack, I guess, Minnesota for this Pels unit?
Yeah, they're 12-8, but get this. If you look at the top 6-7 players in terms of games played, almost nobody's missed a game, right? So they've had availability.
Right.
Here's their weakness. It's closing out games. They've had some terrible losses so far this year. So if the Pelicans could somehow find a way to summon the best game plan, energy, focus, and what's, say, a 10, maybe 12-point deficit, make it a close game down the stretch, this Minnesota team's beatable because they have fallen apart down the stretch way too many times this year. That's when you can beat this team.
Ollie, always appreciate your time, man, and hopefully we can get into the win column tonight because I'm sure sick of talking about losses and injuries.
Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. Basketball season's 82 games, right? Saints is much less, so it's easier to stomach, I feel like, losses. But basketball, boy, you can get on one of these losing streaks, and it seems like it'll never end. So, yeah, we need just some wins. Get started at some point.
Let's get one tonight, Ollie. Thank you so much, man.
Yep.
Thanks, Ollie.
Ollie Cosell, NBA writer covering the Pelicans, always giving us great info there. Pelicans basketball taking on the T-Wolves coming up 7 p.m. on 870 a.m. Meanwhile, on 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app, you'll hear the Saints Hour with the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes, and his special guest this week is kicker Charlie Smith. Taking a break. We'll be back more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, folks. WWL is your home for the New Orleans Pelicans, folks. The Pels are taking on the Minnesota T-Wolves tonight in the Smoothie King Center. You can catch all the excitement on the big 870 WWL AM pregame coverage going on there right now with tip-off at 7 p.m. Meanwhile, the biggest news, which you heard yesterday all day on WWL as well as his introductory press conference, is the fact that Lane Kiffin, the Lane plane, has landed in New Orleans. A big part of that, thanks to LSU Athletic Director Virge Ausberry, who talked about what it took to get Lane Kiffin into Baton Rouge. And here's a little bit, a snippet at least, of what Virge Ausberry had to say after getting Kiffin.
After we made the transition, coaches, we had already been talking about, I learned from Mark Emmert that once you hire a coach, you kind of start looking for your next coach, start looking at football and observing people. We had a list put together. We said, you know, who's the top guys out there, who we could get, what made sense to us. And Lane kept popping up. We said, you know what, let's take a shot at him and make some connections. And, you know, I want to get to know him a little bit. So I contacted guys like Boogie McFarlane, Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears. You know, Boogie played for his father. So he watched Lane. They grew up. He was Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And get a better feel. And, you know, I also talked to a lot of coaches and a lot of former coaches, a lot of former coaches who worked here, as you know, and got a better feel about who the guy is. You know, do we want him at LSU? Is he the right fit for LSU? And that's the thing, the fit here at LSU. So through that process and get all that going on, I tell people football coaches, they're different, they're like student athletes. They don't follow the meeting and all those potential things that get you thrown off. And I worried about that. Some of my fans worried about that more. But I was like, let's stay positive. Let's move forward. Let's get the best guy we can get. And we circled him. And like I said, we met. It was a sharp meeting.
about an hour and 20 minutes. In fact, it was a surprise. When I called them, said, come pick us up. They were like, y'all finished already? I said, yeah, we finished already. It wasn't a 3 or 4 hour meeting. You don't ask a coach like that. Skip Berman taught me that. Nick Saban taught me that. You don't ask great coaches, you know, what you going to do on 3rd and 8? Tell me about your offensive game plan. Tell me about your defense. Tell me about who you're going to hire here. It's like, what you need to be successful. We want you to be our coach here. What you expect from me as athletic director? What you expect from LSU? And do you want to be at LSU? And that was pretty much the conversation.
Where was that?
Interview you in a way, too?
Yes, they interviewed me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We met in a place. We flew somewhere, and we had a meeting. We landed, and we flew out.
Okay. How did you handle all this? You were put in a very big spot to hire a football coach as your first assignment as the athletic director. Was there stress? Was there any anxiety? Were you calm? How did you handle it?
You know, I exercise a lot. I run a lot, like 5 miles, 6 miles a day. No, but I've been through this before with Coach Saban. I've been through this with Les Miles. And remember, Scott wrote an article about when Coach rehired Les Miles and Coach Burton was the AD here, was going through the process. I just had to tell him, I said, hey, hiring a football coach at LSU is the biggest thing in the state of Louisiana. It's the biggest job. I said, you hired the wrong one, Coach Burton. Of all your national championships, all your great baseball program, that's going to be your legacy. So I thought about, this would be my legacy at LSU, and that I have to get the right person to be the head coach of LSU. So no, I was really relaxed. I've done this before. I've done this 5 times already. Now I'm sitting in the chair. It's a little different than being one of the associates working along with it. So yeah, it was a little pressure at times, and you felt a little times. And my thing was making sure everybody stayed quiet. You know, there was a lot of leaks, a lot of people we talked to, some things got out. Just keeping everybody quiet, because I knew, like you said, it's a bit of a tough situation. He did well at that place. He loved that place. And we were thinking about that timeline also. I got kind of nervous the other night when Auburn tied Alabama in that game. Like, wow. Talking about this, it's a championship game now. So it might push us back a week. But we were comfortable, and he was comfortable with me, and we had a good relationship, and he and I would just talk about normal things and just talk about places. And he said his Layla came down here and some of his family, they have to really see Baton Rouge. That was one of the big things because, you know, her father was All-American at University of Florida and coached at Florida, great NFL player. And those are the things that we were a little afraid of. Like, you know, that's that pool of Gainesville. But then she came to Baton Rouge, she's like, wow, I really like this place.
How soon after you guys let Brian go did you first reach out to his representatives?
I think about, we let Brian go. Scott was still AD at the time, and there's some transition going on then. But as soon as things got clear and they told me I was AD and had to go find a football coach, that was the call. And I knew pretty much all the agents of all the people we contacted. So we were talking a lot with all the different agencies to find out who's the right guy, the right fit. You know, you go over the list and you keep going over the list, keep going over the list, keep coming back to him. You go over the list another time, say, this guy's a good coach, and he watched a lot of football games, and kept coming back to him. I've been watching his team, how he plays, how he scores, what he does on offense. He's a guy that's a talent that not many people have. Steve Spurrier had this talent. Nick Saban has this talent. A few guys have. Skip Berman has this talent where they can look at a game and say, do this right now. Run this play right now. Not many guys can do that. And I watched his games. I studied his games in film. I watched a lot of film on these guys, see what they do, how they prepare. And when I look at him, I'm like, wow, this guy here knows how to call a football game. That was a hard part. That was a hard part a little bit. You know, we're looking at that time. The thing is, you know, if you get to the playoffs and they let him cook, we told him, we did tell him this here, if you get to the playoffs, you coach your team. We had no problems with that at all. So LSU was not part of this where we didn't want him to coach. We told him that, you know, if you get to the playoffs, please coach your team. So I make my announcement early, fine with that. Let us know you come to LSU. Go coach your team. Go coach Ole Miss. It's great. It's great publicity for our institution. You have a coach out there coaching in the playoffs, playing for the national championship. That's going to be the next head coach of LSU. So we had no problems with that part.
Virgil talked about how important it was for him to have financial backing for the roster, the players. What is LSU's plan going to be to do that?
It's a great plan. It's great numbers and great supporters. With a guy like Lane Kiffin, you'd be surprised the calls we got from people who want to support this program and that area. And a lot of people who hadn't supported us before. Now with Lane here, there's a lot of excitement to get behind him and support him. A lot of our people who have been previously donors to that part, they want to up their donations and make sure that we get the best players in.
You've been in here for a long time for a lot of different searches. It is rare to point out one guy and get him, right? I mean, how many times have you gotten the number one
target, right?
It's very hard, but you never have really a number one target back in those previous searches. There's a lot of people you think your number one target, they might be using for money at their schools, they're not going to leave. And then you look at the landscape, there's not many guys out there. And you see what happened lately, and there were so many jobs open this year. That was another thing we had a problem. Look at how many jobs are open, and we knew the good thing about it, everybody was waiting for LSU. We were the standard bearer. We were the program that everybody know. Let's wait till LSU, and once LSU falls, then everybody knows what they're doing. That would happen if you notice. LSU, people, LSU is one of the best jobs in the country. It is the best job in the country. You know, LSU, Georgia, and Ohio State. Those are the three top jobs, and that's what I told Coach Kiff when I met with him. I said, look, you did just as good as you could at Ole Miss. You did very, very well. But Ole Miss and Kentucky are the only two schools in SEC that hadn't been to SEC championship game. Oklahoma probably new to the conference. But I said, you want to get to the championship game to compete and win that national championship? This is what you got to do. I also sent him a message. I was teasing him a little bit. When Oregon beat, I think, USC, they jumped him in CFP. I said, teams don't jump LSU.
That was great stuff from LSU Athletic Director Virg Ausberry talking about what it took to land Lane Kiffin at LSU. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk, come back with more as we wrap things up. Getting ready for the Saints Hour coming up 7 p.m. right here on WWL. Folks, it is time to light up the season. Join WWL for day one of the Manning Family Children's Radiothon. We'll be there tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. We're so blessed to have a world-class hospital that provides the best care possible for children right here in our own backyard. They help so many of our kids and families when they need them most. And now it's time to give thanks and raise critical funds, knowing every dollar stays right here at home. Help us help the kids, folks. Join WWL day one of the Manning Family Children's Radiothon. That's presented by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. Our whole crew's going to be participating. That's Tommy, Newell, and Dave Cohen, Scoot and Ian, also Sports Talk with me, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, also featuring Archie Manning and Deuce McAllister, plus call-ins from Eli and Cooper Manning. Come out, see us. We'll be there tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. because giving feels awesome, folks. Coming up next, we're going to give you the Saints Hour with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, coming up right here, WWL 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. Who dat?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.